The following program is intended for mature audiences.
All right, and welcome to the Fantastine.com and Digital Evolution podcast. This is our first podcast. We'll be talking tech from two parts of the country, from New Jersey and North Carolina. I'm Jeff.
I'm Corey.
I'm Dale.
And we're all teenagers. I'm 17, Dale's 17, and Corey is 15, and we're all talking tech. We're talking hacking related stuff, and also just regular tech news. And we'll start off the night. Well, Corey has an announcement about his site, and we'll go to Corey. Corey?
Alright, well, I was brought to the attention that Digital Evolution was a very popular name, and I was thinking if we could come up with a new name, anything better. At the main site, which is digiev.uni.cc, digiev.uni.cc, there's a thread on the forums called New Name, and if you register at the site, just like post any ideas you might have for a new name, help us grow and stuff. And that's all I've got about the updates for the site.
We also apologize for if there's any noise in the background. We're still working on some of the kinks with the microphone.
Yeah, this is our first episode, so we've got some
episode,
bugs
so we're
and
just,
stuff.
Yeah, getting some stuff done. And you can find more information on mine and Dale's site. That is fantastine.com. That's FANTASTINE.com. And you can find the podcast up online, and there'll be RSS feeds up, and you'll be able to find the podcast probably on most podcasting software and databases. And I guess we'll start with Corey with the first tech news item of the night. Corey?
I got a link. There's a really cool website that was brought to my attention. I don't know if y'all have heard about it. It's called opendomain.org, and it's like an open source domains. You can get free domains that people aren't using right now. You contact them and they'll transfer it or redirect it to your website. And if you go to their website and you click on the free domains, there's a huge list of different domains that you can use. Just to list a few, xinclude.org, linkfood.net, just any, most of them are random, but if by some coincidence that you've got a website that you could use one of these domains with, you can just contact the person that's in charge of that domain, and they'll transfer it or redirect it to you for free. I thought that was a pretty cool idea.
So what kind of websites are they? .coms or just the name themselves? What kind?
Well, there's different .coms, .orgs, .nets. They're all... And they don't transfer, the DNS server or anything. They just, redirect it to your website.
And are they totally...
I think that's what I read on the main page.
Are they free?
Yeah, they're free to use, not like to have. On the main page it says, we have many domains that are planned for future development that due to time constraints we are unable to use at this time. We are firm believers of the internet mantra of sharing and open source, so we would like to provide their use to a responsible group. To review the current list of free domains, please go to the free domains page. There's a link on that site. Note, this is not an offer to sell any domain. We cannot transfer any domains to you. You may use the domain for any purpose and keep any profit. There's no charge for this. All we ask is a few simple terms, and there's a page with different terms. There's a whole bunch, so I wasn't going to go off and read them. But this seems like a pretty cool...
They're pretty much just letting you use the domain until someone else comes along and decides to buy it.
Yeah, or to buy it or to use it, I guess.
So they just bought it themselves and just said, well, we have it, but we want to keep it, but we want you to use it, I guess? So it doesn't just sit there and collect dust, I guess you're saying?
Yeah, I'm guessing that's what it is. Like, you know, domains that aren't in use right now, you know, you can use them until they are needed by its owner, I guess. I mean, I just, you know, glancing over this page, but it seems like a really cool project.
Pretty interesting.
If anyone wants to check it out, it's opendomain.org.
Seems like
that's
a good idea.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Keeping with the free theme, free stuff theme, the New York Public Library is now offering ebooks online. On the site I posted a few weeks ago about Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Public Library posting having all their books online for free to view as ebooks and audiobooks. They had about a thousand of each of an audiobooks and ebooks, and now the New York Public Library has put theirs online, and their site is nypl.org. And on the site, from the main page, they have a link, an image of the books, a picture of books and ebooks. And you just click on that, and they have a whole bunch of audio, e-audio and ebooks, they call them, online. But unlike the Los Angeles Public Library's online library, their digital library had older books. This new New York Public Library has pretty new books, and some of the new ebooks additions, like if you click on the main page on just new books they put on, they had Teach Yourself Microsoft SQL Server 2021 Days. It's a brand new book, the brand new copy. These are ebooks you can check out, and they have them so they can you can check them out for a certain amount of days as ebooks. Then after a certain amount of days, they'll turn off. But they allow only so many of one book to be out. So I don't know how many they have allowed to be out. It's probably different for each book. But they have, like, AutoCAD 2005 for Dummies, all ebooks, and they also have audiobooks. They have, like, Huckleberry Finn and all those other audiobooks, and they're all totally free. And you can also use them on your MP3 player that has a DMCA, I think the one that Microsoft uses, so you won't be able to use it on a iPod. But you can. But the audiobooks will allow you to burn it to a CD, so you can easily just crack the DMR or DRM by ripping it off a CD back onto your computer. So it's pretty interesting. You can get all of the books online. You can check it out at nypl.org.
Well, that's cool. So you're saying it's like...
I posted something like that before about on our website about Google trying to do that. Problem is with the newer books with the copyrights, but I guess the New York Public Library is working around that somehow.
Yes, Public Library. But the difference is that the New York Public Library has newer, updated books. Like, they're really new, like, brand new. And it's really got a good database. And they got a lot of tech books, actually. Like, the ones in the Los Angeles Times, Los Angeles Public Library, their books are pretty outdated, like, from 1997. And these ones are pretty new. Like, one is Unix Shell Programming. That was just recently added today. And there's also, like, Teach Yourself PHP in 24 Hours. I checked this earlier this morning, and they've added about 20 new books just today. So it's pretty cool. And they have the Linux Bible. It's really cool.
So it's like your own online virtual library. That's pretty cool.
Can't get to the New York Public Library today.
I find that checkout system pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty cool idea.
They have it. So you have it so many days, and only so many can check it out. But that's about it.
That might be why they're not having the problems with the copyrights.
Yeah, because I don't think Audible.com would like it either if people were doing this and the copyrights. You know. But they are a public library. All right, moving on. Corey, do you have any other news?
I've got a couple more. One thing, I was looking over the internet, and I found this really cool, I guess this would fall in, like, cool gear or something, a different category. It's a remote-control lawnmower. And it looks like sort of like one of those Mars Range Rover thingies or whatever you call them. And it's a remote-control lawnmower, and it the controller looks like a real remote control car. Remote control car remote. It's actually really cool. It's $2,300. So I don't think, you know, just your ordinary lawn mower person would want to buy that, because that's a lot of money. But
the best thing would probably just,
you know, like, I guess
they probably save a lot of money by just mowing the lawn themselves and getting healthy in the same time.
Yeah.
Well, compared to a normal lawnmower, that's not actually that
bad.
Well,
yeah, I don't know, like
$2,300. I mean, depends on the type of mower you get, but I mean, commercial mowers, if you've got a bigger lawn or something, they run like $8,000 or $9,000. So even a standard mower is like $1,500,
like
$2,000.
I don't think many people are going to buy a commercial lawnmower.
Yeah, but even that, just standard duty, isn't
it's even
that
harder
to
mow a lawn with a remote control than just walking or riding.
Yeah, it seems like, you know.
Well, I've actually seen this thing. They have them hooked into a computer, and you can just actually set the pattern of a lawnmower, and it'll go and do.
Yeah, but then what
you.
Happens if you have like an animal in the yard, or like lawn toys, or you know, chew toys from like dogs?
Well, no, that's the thing. You can program it to go around it.
That's pretty lazy, if you ask me.
Well, I know they did the same thing with a vacuum.
Like the Roomba, or just something like it? Oh,
yeah, I've seen that little circular one.
Yeah, I saw something that a while ago.
Yeah, except it didn't have a mind.
But then that one, you know, it's got sensors on it.
All right, yeah, I know. I know what you're speaking about.
Well, like the vacuum, it's got the little sensors on it, so like when it hits a wall, it'll turn around. So, I mean, you know, I don't think this lawnmower has anything like that. It's just a lawnmower on wheels with a remote control. I don't think it's anything. It's got a zero turning radius, so that's, you know.
So it can turn on a dime?
I guess, yeah. So, I mean, that's good, you know, going up and down and up and down, because it's a pretty small, or at least from the pictures, it's a pretty small, you know, lawnmower. It's got a wireless electric starter, FM radio control, gas engine, 22-inch mulch blade. So, I mean, you know, it seems pretty cool, you know, cool gear, but it's probably still has.
Oh, that's tiny.
I wish I could send you the picture, but I don't think we have a chat up. But, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. It's probably still got a bunch of bugs in it, because this is the first, you know, remote control lawnmower I've seen. So, they've probably got a couple of bugs still to be worked out. But, I mean, maybe sometime in the future this will be, you know, in every household.
I think it become more of a hassle than anything. But, it's more annoying probably to sit up there in a lawn chair,
yeah.
Controlling your lawnmower around than sitting on it. Probably a lot more difficult, too.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I agree.
I mean, yeah.
I thought I saw something like this before. It's just, I don't think it's ever going to catch on.
Yeah, well,
it's made by Evatech.
Never heard of them.
Evatech.net. I've never heard of these people, so, you know, I don't know. It was just a link that I got from somebody. I think I'm going to go on to the next story. This is for all the bloggers out there. I know I'd recently just started a blog. All your clever little blog could get you fired. Like a growing number of employees, Peter Whitney decided to launch a blog on the internet to chronicles of his life. His friends and his job at a division of Wells Fargo. Then he began taking jabs at a few people he worked with. His blog, gravityspike.blogspot.com, did find an audience, his bosses. In August 2004, the 27-year-old was fired from his job handling mail and the front desk. He says, after managers learned of his weblog or blog. So I guess he was saying stuff about, you know, the company or whatever, and he got fired over it. I mean, so, you know, for all y'all bloggers out there, you know, you might want to watch what
I've
you say.
There's a lot of articles out there. Many companies don't allow people to blog. Some do and some don't. I can't think offhand. I think Microsoft has bloggers, people they pay to blog. There's also other companies that don't allow you to blog because, you know, just for revealing trade secrets, and they have, you know, non-disclosure acts and stuff.
Well, I can understand, like, if you're revealing company trade secrets, but isn't that a violation of your First Amendment? You know, freedom of speech?
No, they... Because they're not the government. They're saying... If it was the government saying that you can't do it, they can't. But
well,
if it's a private organization, they can tell you if you don't want to. They can tell you if you want to or not, I believe. I'm not a lawyer, but
well,
since they're not... Dale, don't you agree that...
Yeah.
Since they're not... They're a company, they can do whatever they want. They don't need to say... they can say you can't blog off. Or later, I believe.
Yeah, the company should be able to do whatever they want, because that should be within the contract with the employee.
Yeah,
it's
that...
It's understood they're not going to reveal company secrets.
Yeah. They could have employees sign a contract saying that. So it would be legal, but, you know. It's perfectly legal, I believe. This one is...
All right.
It's for all the Apple developers out there. I tried to develop one with Xcode, and I believe it was 2 weeks ago. I downloaded... I'm a part of the Apple Developer Connection, and 2 weeks ago I downloaded Xcode 2.1, which was released the day of the Worldwide Developer Conference, and there... In it had WebObjects, which is a online web services application, which in 2002 sold for $50,000. Yeah, and now it's free.
Oh, yeah, I heard
so
about that.
And just like a few days ago, it was worth a few hundred dollars. But if you were a student Apple Developer Connection member, you would be able to download it for $99, but now it's free. It's packaged and bundled with Xcode tools, and I believe it also came free with X-Raid servers when you bought them. So it's been around for a while. It's been updated, but it's been around since the Next computer days with Steve Jobs. So
for all the not Mac developer people out there, what exactly, like, in not exactly in depth, but just
well,
a glance overview, what is WebObject?
The back end, say, for it's for mostly Java, it's web applications. Like, the Apple Store runs WebObjects, so every time you buy something or you use something on the Apple Store, you're using WebObjects. It's just background server software. And what you get with Xcode is the development tools and the tools themselves, so you can test them out, and you can make an Apple Store or any kind of store on your server that runs WebObjects. So it's pretty good, you
mm-hmm.
know, but it's pretty amazing. It's just showing,
it's pretty cool.
Talking
app,
about
I guess, yeah.
the price of software, like in a book I read, "The Cathedral and the Bazaar" by Eric S. Raymond. He talks about it's about a book about open source, but it definitely talks about how. How do you put a value price on software, you know? It's there's no real cost to make it.
Yeah.
Obviously have to pay the developers and stuff, but, like, there's no physical cost.
And man hours
but
and
like
stuff.
Saying, like, this laptop in front of me costs money, you know? The parts have to cost something, and you have to have a markup. So there's a tangible price, but with software, there's no tangible price because you can copy the information an infinite amount of times. So going from $50,000 to $0 in the span of 3 years is pretty amazing, I think. Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Something I find interesting about that is I also, like a while ago, I saw something on the internet about how they're thinking about raising the prices for processors when they have dual cores because they can actually run more of the application. They can utilize more, so they're thinking of upping the cost for the software because you can use more of it and you can run it simultaneously at different times with the same processing power.
Yeah, I read that also. And also, most server software, like SUSE Enterprise Linux 9, you pay license per processor. So you have to get a new license for every processor you have on the server. So if you have, say, a dual Xeon processor, you have to buy two licenses for the processor, per processor, so they get you on that. So I guess I see the CPU as another computer.
I think that's getting a little greedy.
Yeah. They way to get more money, more revenue.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and,
Well, I know if I ran a software company, then, you know, I'd be trying to, you know, make... Or if I ran any type of company, you would be trying to make more money. Because, I mean, that's what you're doing. You're a business. You try to make money. So, I mean...
But in the same respect, you're also trying to get a customer database, because if you start losing customers because they think you're being greedy...
Exactly.
And to other options, then... you don't have people to sell it to.
Well, that's true. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, look at both sides of the wall, you know.
Yeah.
Different viewpoints.
All right. Another news story the Queen Elizabeth has bought an iPod, and it's a 6 GB silver iPod mini, and I guess the Queen has enough music on a computer to buy an iPod. She's 79 years old now. I don't know many 79-year-olds that have iPods. And I don't really... I just find it funny that the Queen has an iPod now.
Yeah.
It seems like that everyone has an iPod. Everyone that I know, at least.
Yeah. I don't have an iPod.
It's kind of interesting to picture a Queen listening to an iPod.
It says here on...
Yeah.
Phones in there and everything.
It says here
funny image.
That the Queen loves music and was impressed by how small and handy the iPod is. And that is from the Sun, which I guess could probably be the equivalent to the Star magazine over here in the United States. So I don't know how credible it is. It's like a tabloid, but
yeah,
it probably is true. I could see the Queen buying one. She is the Queen.
Hey. Do you know anything about how prevalent the Mac platform is over in Europe?
It's probably the same, I guess. Well, all the times I've been over there, I don't think I've ever seen a Mac. Like in all the hotels or at people's houses, I see Windows computers, and it just runs Windows, just say in German or French or whatever. And I see mostly majority of Windows, but I think that there are definitely some over there. I don't know. That's something good to find out. And maybe if we have listeners, maybe one of those listeners can send in if they find it, or we can post something on one of the sites.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, that's what would make this show, you know, even better would be to have listeners, you know, send in emails
or just
and
have
cool
listeners,
stuff,
period.
You know, that we can put on the show so we've got content, you know.
Yeah, so if you are
well,
a listener,
yeah, even that.
You know, there's no really a way to track how many downloads we have. I guess we can track RSS hits, but the best thing would be to do is just drop us a line.
Yeah.
You can find my email at fantastein.com, or you can email me at fantastein1234@gmail.com.
And my email is snyder90@gmail.com. So, you know, drop us a line either there or
Dale.
Dan.
You can also email me.
Dale. Did I just say Dan?
I'm also with
Dale.
fantastein.com, DaleTaylor@patmedia.net.
All right. Are there any other topics that we want to discuss?
All right, well, to add on to the opendomain.org, another cool link, this has nothing to do with opendomain.org, but I don't know if any of y'all have heard of bash.org. It's a cool little, like, humor site. I mean, you know, if you want a good laugh, go here. It's compiled of a whole bunch of IRC quotes, like funny quotes. I don't know really how to explain it, because this is the first that I've seen of its kind, but, you know, just check it out. There's all different types of jokes and stuff. Hopefully this link and everything else will be covered in some sort of a show note, either on Digital Evolution or Fantastein.
Fantastein.com.
Whatever.
On Fantastein.com,
it'll be there.
Put a
Fantasy9.com.
I'll be sure to put up show notes link and show notes posting in a link to all the other sites that have been mentioned in this podcast.
Yeah, we're going to put that together. And then I've got a couple other topics. One thing, this is quick, I'm just asking y'all, how do you pronounce it? Knopix or Knopix? Because I've gotten a whole bunch of people asking me that, and I don't know, but wait, what's the official Knopix. Way to
it's
pronounce
Knopix.
It? It is?
I think saying Carnopix is like saying escargot, you know, or quiche.
Yeah.
Dale's a...
Because I've heard it pronounced, you know, both
ways. Dale's a food connoisseur. He'll if you say it wrong, I don't think he'll get mad at you. So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Pronouncing, I think Knopix. There's a thing online of how.
All right, Knopix.
The thing online how you pronounce Linux. And how Linus Torvalds explains how he says it. He pronounces it Linux. But he
Linux.
But that's with his accent. So.
Yeah.
I find it actually very interesting the number of words that have to do with computers and technology that how they're said.
A lot of things are, because mostly they're made just for
Maybe
fun.
It's just because the English language is horrible.
Yeah, but you have, like, GNU. Like, if you look at it, it's GNU. How do you pronounce that? GNU? So it's definitely understandable. And, you know, everything is pronounced, but I believe it's Knopix.
All right. And actually, another question from me and a couple other people I was talking to. I was at Newegg.com recently, and I was looking at one of their, like, deals, and I saw an HP iPod. And I could have bet on it that Apple makes iPods. I mean, what's up with that? Is it the same thing, or...?
It's just, like, kind of like franchising. It's branding. Apple makes the iPod, and they always will. They just they have a deal with Hewlett Packard so that they can use the iPod. They can sell the iPod with the HP plus Apple logo on the back. It's just so they can get a larger user base, and that people can.
Okay, so sort of like the same thing as Dodge Neon and Plymouth Neon sort of thing? Like, you know, same name, same car, just different brands?
I guess. I don't really know. But all I know about the Apple thing is they're just branding it so they can sell it on the Hewlett Packard website. And so I guess they get more people from the Hewlett Packard user base. But you can also find it. I've seen the Hewlett Packard. I think try just getting to more markets. Because I've seen the Hewlett Packard iPod in Radio Shack, and I've also seen it at Costco, I believe, or the price.
So it's the same iPod, just different brand.
Same exact thing, just different, just a different. All different.
Just a different name.
The only difference
it.
Is they printed a different thing on the back. That's the only difference.
All right, just to clear that up, and my last and next victim, I was reading an article on you know, how Google ranks their pages when you search for something, their algorithms, once again, I can't pronounce it, but about like one way to make your site, to make Google think that your website is a lot better, is if you register a domain for longer than a year, because the way Google thinks that if you register your domain for just a year, then you're not planning on the website succeeding and being bigger and better. So they're not going to put you in the top whatever when you search for a certain topic that your website is about. So just one quick tip. If you own a website and you want your site on Google and to be in the top whatever, register your domain for more than a year. And I'm guessing the longer you register your domain, the more serious Google's going to think your site is, and they're going to rank you higher. And that's all I've got.
Well, talking on that subject, I have to concur. I don't believe Apple... I mean, not Apple. Google does it that way. You can find online on University of Washington Television. I posted this previously on my blog, and they have a bunch of videos on there And Jeff Dean, I believe, from Google, he talks about how Google gets their, how PageRank works. And the way PageRank works is...
The way they stop
spammers and people like that from getting their PageRank higher. And so the way they do it is they do backtracking links and say if you're on Slashdot, if your site's on Slashdot, Slashdot has a high PageRank. And so if you're on Slashdot, your PageRank's going to get higher because you're linked to a very high PageRank site.
Well, I was reading on a new site, a tech news site, that Google had released that they had changed the way, recently, that they had changed the way that they were doing it, and that Google had announced that that was one of the ways that they choose to rank their pages. So, you know, I don't know which one's right, which one's wrong. I'm just reading what I've read from Google, what they've said.
I saw a glance over something and, that Google released their patents or something. Not patents, they released... information on how they do it. I think it might happen today. I might have saw it on Yahoo. I don't remember. I'll try to find it and put it in the show notes. But
yeah, we can put it in the show notes for people.
But Google is a pretty smart company, and they have a lot of good products. And I really think that they have the best private search engine out there, because they can stop people from putting bogus sites up there. The way I get Fantastine on Google is just keeping it up there and I use Expression Engine as my blogging software. WordPress has problems sometimes with getting crawled by Google, and Expression Engine does not, but Expression Engine costs $29, I believe. However, I think that after Google once crawls your site, you can first add them to crawl, add to a list to crawl your site, and they eventually will. But the more often you post on your site, it'll know it's a new site, and you can get crawled practically every day, and I get a majority of my hits from Google searches.
Well, while we're on the topic of Google, I've got a couple Google topics to talk about. One was, I was reading somewhere, and about how, you know, one of those theories, Google's going to take over the world thing, and one where they had changed their... ranking systems to where a lot of companies that were, you know, primarily web-based got all their business from web hits and stuff, and they were ranked high on Google. When Google changed the way they ranked their systems, the businesses noticed a huge difference in the hits that their website got. So it's almost like, you know, Google is becoming such a big part of, you know, our economy or the businesses that, you know, if they make one change, they can change a big chunk of the economy.
I don't think it's that bad.
That actually reminds me of that video you showed me. It was Google taking over the world, overtaking a whole bunch of different industries.
Yeah, I have to find the link. I'll put the link in the show notes, which I'll post when I post this podcast. And it was a flash animation. It was about, I think, 5 minutes long on how Google will be taking over the world. But I don't think they're going to take over the world. Their stock, I think, is one of the highest stocks right now at $305, I believe. It's pretty high. I don't think they would change the economy that much. In all seriousness, they are a search engine. That's all they are. They have other products, but their search engine technology is the main thing. But I still use Yahoo and other searches, and so do a lot of people. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, but then remember, what is a search engine? A search engine takes you to these different sites, and if a business is primarily getting all their business from page rankings, and you know they're listing on Google, if Google changes something to where their site isn't in the top 10, then, you know, they're going to see a big difference in business. Because, I mean, how many people, when you search for something, are going to go through every single page that pops up? You're only going to click, you know, the first 10 or 15 that are on that first one or two pages.
Google doesn't have a lock on the market. It's not like they're the only ones that are doing this. if it was every single website doing the exact same thing that could control who was on the top of what, then they'd have
I believe Google has
everything, but they don't.
Well, it has a big chunk of it because Google is the most popular search engine out there, isn't it?
Google has no... I don't think they're trying to take over the world, or I don't think they're trying to control the economy. They are very... They're one of the best companies out there because they embrace open source and open ideas, and I think that they don't... I don't think they try to bring down other sites by changing their things. I don't think... I guess your point is not saying that Google... That's not Google's plan. It's just that Google is so big that they're trying to if they change it, since it's getting so big, it can affect a lot of people, like since we get saying it. And that does bring up a valid point. And I do think that it probably can, but I think the main thing that the site probably should be able to do is probably just change how they market their things and probably find that maybe we shouldn't use Google as our main advertising and try to use something else. But it does bring up a valid point.
Well, because I was also searching on the internet and I found, like, businesses that work for businesses to make sure that their website has the content to make their website appear on the first, 10 listings when you search for something. And I thought that was a pretty cool, type of business. So while we're on the...
Every now and then I get a letter in the mail that from some company. I don't know who it is, but it's probably the same company I get... They say, get your search engine rank higher, and they're like, be able to be searched on Ask Jeeves, AltaVista, Yahoo, Google, and they say and MSN, and all these big search engines, and they say, just send your $10 a month in to us now, and they find my address by doing a Whois search on my site.
Yeah, doing a Whois search and getting your address.
And they send it to me, and then I throw it out. But they're definitely a company that is trying to make your site rank higher. I don't know how much. I don't think it would work that well, because that's Google's one main thing. But I think GoDaddy has something like that too. That they will make sure that the search engine search you. But I think you can probably do it yourself by posting enough and having enough content on your site, and then Google will search you.
Yeah, just being a good webmaster.
Exactly.
I mean, and actually, on the contrary, I said this before, but my last thing that I have planned to talk about is, while we're on the topic of Google, is actually...
...that are alternatives to other things. Like, I try to find the most open source, and not always open source, but just programs that are free, but work the same and don't have any ads. And there's, for Instant Messenger on Linux, I use GAIM, G-A-I-M.
Yeah, I like GAIM. That's great.
And you can get that at sourceforge.net, game.sourceforge.net. And
go ahead.
I'm just saying, there's a whole bunch of more programs that are open source, so you know that they're clean and don't have any adware or spyware if you're on Windows. And that's at cleansoftware.org.
Well, does GAIM have a Windows client? I was just wondering.
GAIM has,
or is it just strictly Linux?
GAIM is for all. It's for all.
Yeah.
I think that even all platforms, I believe.
All
Oh, well, in that case, I'm going to delete AIM and I'm going to download GAIM because I really like GAIM, like when I'm using my Linux distros and stuff. It'll pop up. Like, I really like the tabbed conversations. That's actually my favorite part. Same as Firefox, but for instant messaging. So you don't have a million different boxes to talk to somebody.
Yeah, GAIM
to talk to a couple
a lot
people.
Like it works a lot like iChat in Mac OS X, and you can see their icons, and you can, when just on their buddy list, and you can see their away messages and their active messages. It's a really good program. It's open source.
Yeah,
it's one of the most popular ones on SourceForge.net.
It would be really nice if GAIM could have a video chat like iChatAV has.
Yeah, they don't work too well with that because it works really well with Jab. GAIM also supports MSN, Yahoo, Jabber, and all those other protocols.
ICQ, I think, too.
Yeah, AIM works probably the worst with it, but it works well. But the way because AOL doesn't really release how it works. I think they released it once, and so they're just building off that. And so you can read it. They have more information on their website on game.sourceforge.net.
Yeah, I'm at it now, and I'm actually downloading Game for Windows. So, because I didn't know they had Game for Windows. I thought I was strictly like Linux.
Nope.
But, you know, hey, learn something new every day.
Yes, you do. I guess that's the point of this whole podcast.
Yep. And, you know, this is actually turning out pretty good. I'm having a good time, you know, sharing what I've learned and listening to what y'all have, you know, found on the internet.
All right. Speaking.
You're having discussions, you know.
Speaking of learning, I guess we'll try to do this podcast often. Agreed?
Weekly?
Probably. Yeah, sure, weekly.
Weekly is fine. And,
yeah.
It'd be nice if we could get a podcast with you in over in California.
That's what I'm getting into. Next week, I will be going to the National Youth Leadership Forum on Technology. I posted this on my site.
Yeah, I read that today.
Yeah, it's the technology.
Yep.
The National Youth Leadership Forum is it's a thing. You get a letter from in the mail. When you take the PSATs, if you check, I guess, either medical or law or any kind of those degrees, like you choose what kind of major you might want to be interested in, well, that you get added to a mailing list, and then you get a nice fancy letter from the National Youth Leadership Forum on whatever subject you checked, and then they'll send you information and they'll try to get your money. Well, I gave in, and I gave my money to go to the National Youth Leadership Forum on Tech. The difference between...
How much?
About two grand. But I had freaking fly miles, and so it kind of worked out. But it's still a lot of money.
Gotta love them.
It's for 2 weeks, so...
Yeah.
And, you know, going to California, not bad. But the...
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean,
But the thing that got me really... That made me just say, oh, scam. It's, you know, pretty much they try to just get your money. But the thing is that all the other ones, the medicine, business, law, and all those other ones, they're in about 5 different cities. But whereas the technology one, it only takes place in Silicon Valley. Because that's where all the all the other companies are from. Most of the companies are from. That's where the industry, like, you know, epicenter. And so...
Like all the different conventions and stuff.
Yeah, all different things. And so they're having... There's going to be... there's speakers. I think Guy Kawasaki is the one guy. And I forget his name. The guy who invented Napster. A college student who...
Yeah, I don't remember his real name.
He's going to be speaking there. And so it's going to be pretty interesting. Here, bring up his name. Sean Fanning, that's it. Sean Fanning, he's one of the keynotes.
Yeah, that's it, I remember.
He's one of the keynote speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the companies that you visit are like Sun Microsystems, Apple Computer Incorporated, and Oracle, and all these big companies. And so it seems like it's going to be a pretty good time. And I'll be teaching in a seminar. They have peer-to-peer seminars where you had to apply to teach a 50-minute seminar, and I applied, and I got my thing got accepted, and I'm working on my presentation right now. Well, not right now, but this week, and I'm doing it on building an Apple One replica, and just teaching some of the basics of the digital logic and how basic computers work, and so it just, you know, to get people more aware of how computers work, you know, in zeros and ones, you know, a lot of, like,
yeah,
25 years ago, people knew how computers worked that way, you know, people who were into computers, because that was the only way they worked. But now, as technology advances, and with graphical user interfaces, and all these high-level programming languages, you know, not many people know that. But it's good to know, so you can really get down into the nitty-gritty of the hardware And so that's what I'll be teaching there. I still have to figure out how I'm going to take my power supply for the Apple One. It takes an AT power supply, and now with since 9/11, I don't know how the airport's going to take to me taking a big power supply in my luggage. Because now, at least at Newark Airport,
and you're definitely going to have your. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm taking the Apple One, definitely. But I need power, and so, but.
Well, I mean, you're definitely going to have your, you know, your presentation and stuff as a carry-on, right? I mean, you're not going to trust something like that going through, you know, whatever, you know, going through the little escalators and whatever they do to your luggage when you're putting it on the plane.
Yeah, well, I'll probably put my carry-on
in. Even at that, they wouldn't want you to have a power supply on the plane.
Yeah.
They don't exactly know what they're talking about or what they're seeing.
Well, last time I traveled a few months ago at Newark International Airport, where I'm flying out again, they now scan every bag, every luggage, and they scan it in front of you now before they go. You know, they don't go in, you know, some dark room where they scan it. They do it right in front of you, and they open up all the bags, and you actually can't have locks on your bags anymore, at least for Continental Airlines. And so I still have to figure out how I'm going to do it. I probably might be able to get a connector for ATX power supply to AT power supply. They have them, but then getting the AT power supply to work because you
need
a motherboard button.
Yeah, it doesn't have the power switch, but if you connect two of the motherboard connector, you can get it right from there. I think it's like the 7, 12 pin.
How?
I'll show you later. I did that last year.
All right. I'll check that out. Because I can probably just take the Apple One, and then I can probably just hook it up there. And or I'm going to be in San Francisco for, I think, 5 or 4 days before the conference. I'm just going sightseeing out there. And I can probably stop at a probably used computer place and probably buy one for, like, $5. And then I'll just, you know, return it somewhere or sell it or just throw it out over there.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely going to have to find some way to broadcast a podcast from down there. Are they going to, like, have audio recording of the different seminars? We can get that, too. Your seminar, have that recorded and put it up on the site.
Yeah, I have my iSight. I'm going to try to use QuickTime Broadcaster, and I'll try to record the seminar. Doing it live is probably very too hard and probably not enough bandwidth.
Well, yeah, but not live.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
record
it.
Have some way.
I'll try to record it. It'll probably be really bad quality, like the angle-wise. I'll try to record it, and I'll see what I can do with that. And for doing the podcast, I'll probably next Friday, I'll be in San Francisco. I don't know if the hotel I'm staying at has a wireless. It probably does. I could probably do it then. In 2 weeks I'll be, or a week and a half, I'll be in San Jose or Silicon Valley, and I will have wireless internet access at the hotel, so I'll probably be able to do the podcast, but probably with a bunch of people looking.
All right, well, yeah.
Probably with a bunch of people looking at me weird when I'm talking into my computer. But I bet there's 1,800 kids going, so there's gonna be a lot of kids. I bet there's some podcasters out there. But I won't take my
profession. Oh, yeah, I bet. As popular as podcasting's getting.
Well, we're a child of that, aren't we? And I probably won't have my professional mic hooked up to the computer. I'll just use the built-in mic from my iSight, or just the one, probably the iSight, or the one that's built into the PowerBook.
Yeah, that'll be fine, as long as we just, you know, get you talking. And,
then
have it working.
I hope to, you know, get information out on all the cool things I'll be learning in San Jose, and all the seminars I go to, and all the speakers I listen to, and all the on-site visits I go to over there. Hopefully, it's kind of stupid. They don't release what their itinerary is. They say past year's itineraries have included. They don't say last year's was this. They say, oh, this is what we've done in the last four years. And so, but someone's posted this.
So you just find out what you're going to do when you show up.
Yeah, practically. The forum, someone put, it was an online forum for people who are attending. Someone said, asked an administrator, said, are they going to the Google headquarters? And they said, oh, we're still in talking, but they said, we'll try to. So hopefully, that'd be really cool if I go to the Google headquarters. I think they call it the Googleplex.
Yeah.
And that'd be really interesting. And I'll take obviously take pictures with my camera and I'll upload them.
Yeah, take pictures so we can upload them onto the sites.
Yeah, I'll take a lot of photos. I just got a new gig memory stick for my camera, and I got the iPod photo connector, so I should be set with that.
What place do you know that you're going to so far?
Technical places? None. I know that I'm going to Santa Cruz Beach and a San Francisco Giants baseball game. I think the rest of the Cincinnati Reds or someone like that. I don't know.
Oh, so they're kind of leaving you in the dark on this one?
Yeah, I spend
pretty much decide when you get there.
Yeah, I spend $2,000 and don't even know what the hell I'm doing.
Huh.
Well, all I know is what I'm wearing certain days. I had to buy a suit for one day.
It's nice to know.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, but I'll see how it happens. You know, 1,800 kids going. I guess that's gonna, and some are alumni, people who went past years. Hopefully, it gets got a good reputation. And I should be meeting possibly other Mac developers there. I posted it on the forum, so we'll see what happens. Maybe we can get other people to come in this podcast.
So, I mean, is there anything else to talk about? Anything else to share? We're running on an hour and a minute, so hour and a minute of good content. Anything else y'all want to add before you want
to
close this out?
I don't know.
I think that's pretty good for our first show. I think that...
Yep.
All right, so hopefully we'll have this online, and... please, if you do listen to this, if there's anyone out there in podcasting land, you can please drop us a comment either on fantdesign.com or Digital Evolution, and you can find all
digiev.uni.cc.
Exactly. Thank you, Corey. And you can find all the links that were stated tonight in this podcast online at fantdesign.com, and there'll be a link to this podcast, which you already have clicked on, since you already listened to this. So we'll do that. So with that,
all right.
I think we'll end it. And thank you, and have a good night.